Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Welcome to EMS Live. This is Joe Covelli. Today is March 14, 2017. Get rolling into our show today. We've got a really good lineup for you. We're going to be talking about kidney disease. Ironically, March is National Kidney Awareness Month. And we have a wonderful guest from the Milwaukee area with the medical college there. Dr. El Manawi is with us, and we appreciate his time today. Joining me today is Chris Anderson and Larry Knuth. Hello, fellas, and welcome to another program.
Hello, Joe. Great to be here.
Morning. Good morning, Joe. Good to hear your voice.
Good to have you with us today. Just wanted to offer, are there any updates that either of you have today with the program?
Well, we have a lot of snow down here in our part of the state.
Not for me. I was actually on vacation for 2 weeks, so I just got back. I may be a little rusty today.
All right, Larry. Well, welcome back. Welcome back. And, Chris, hopefully spring is around the corner. That would be a really good thing. I know March Madness is. I'm working on my bracket here in a few minutes after the program. It's a family duty and responsibility, and I've lost the pool. I've lost the March Madness family pool here the last few years. Have a future son-in-law here, and he's kind of swept it with the family the last few years. So see if I can redeem myself, but enjoy the tournament if you're into that.
Don't let that happen.
That's right. I wanted to bring up I'd say a week or two ago, we received here at the association a 50-page report by the Legislative Study Committee. For those that have been following this, or maybe you haven't, let me update you real quick here. Last year, the state of Wisconsin legislature created a study committee, and it was sponsored by the Joint Legislative Council. The Legislative Council created the study committee to address volunteer firefighter and EMT shortages. The study committee did a terrific job. They interviewed and had testimony from several people starting last July, going until about November, December of last year. Well, they just recently came out with a 50-page synopsis on all of their findings and recommendations. We'll be posting that to the PAW website. And if you'd like to peruse the information, I would suggest. Now where things head, the Joint Legislative Council has offered and recommended draft legislation, which they're looking to sponsor here in the upcoming legislative season, which just recently started here in February. So we'll be keeping close tabs on that, and I just want to mention it to our listening audience that we'll post that document on the PAW website at paaw.us. For our program today, like I mentioned earlier, March is National Kidney Awareness Month, and in recognition of that, we're pleased to have our guest, Dr. Asharaf El Manawi, and he is a director of dialysis at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. Today's program will run approximately 25 more minutes, and it's sponsored today by Stark Collection Agency. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll be right back after this brief message. The fine art of successful ambulance billing and collections begins with the Stark Agency, located in Madison. The Stark Agency provides full-service debt collection, specializing in EMS and ambulance patient billing. They're also experts in the Wisconsin Offset Trip Program, a new option for ambulance services. For more information, call 877-274-7764. That number again, 877-274-7764. The Stark Agency is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and a member of the Wisconsin Collectors Association.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Covelli, joined by Chris Anderson and Larry Knuth. And thanks, too, to Chris for running our audio board today. I want to also extend our appreciation also want to extend our appreciation to Tom Hartman and Rick Stenson for suggesting that we speak with Dr. Elmanawi, and welcome to the program, like you're bringing in at this point in time.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. You know, in emergency medical work, doctor, you know better than anyone else, kidney is such an important thing. And we may not think of it in our work with emergency medical care that we come in contact with people with kidney disease, but from a population standpoint, they're all out there. And I know you quoted some very interesting statistics here before we started the program. Would you mind highlighting, just to give our audience a frame of reference here with kidney disease and the number of people that are out there and the type of cost it is to the healthcare system?
So the kidney patient, they're different from the regular patient, but they're, although they're a very small percentage of the population or even Medicare, which has the best numbers and statistics, they keep track of everything, there's close to 3,000 dialysis patients in the greater Milwaukee area. And if you know that the greater Milwaukee area is close to 2 million, it's only 0.15%. And even if you take it to the people who have chronic illness, it's probably close to like less than 1% of the total population. But the really sick, and they consume the healthcare resources much more than anybody else because they need it. It's not like they use it because they want to. Let me give you an example. The Medicare population with ESRD in the country spends close to $30 billion a year. That's a lot of money, and they represent only 1.2% of the Medicare population, and that number is about close to 7% of the Medicare budget. So they have disproportionate share of consumption of Medicare, and you guys probably know you see them more frequently than the rest, and some of them have repeat calls to EMS because they need it.
What's the most common cause of kidney disease, doctor?
So diabetes is the number one cause of kidney disease, and usually it is diabetes that long uncontrolled. So garden variety controlled diabetes, people can actually live and their kidney, I was telling them, your kidney will outlast you. So their kidney will outlast you. But people who have uncontrolled long-standing diabetes, they more frequently than not end up damaging their kidney through life and end up on dialysis.
Oh, okay.
The number two is hypertension, but hypertension come way behind that. Like 65% of people kidney failure is due to diabetes.
Okay, very, very interesting. Didn't know that statistic at all. That's quite remarkable, actually quite high. I was going to ask you, since our audience is emergency medical care workers, paramedics and EMTs and so on, what makes a dialysis patient different from a regular patient?
So they entirely different, and they taught us a lot of things in the medical discipline we never thought that we knew. The first thing I can tell you that simply, most of them don't make any urine. So their ability to handle fluid load is different. So if you have a regular person who give them like 2 liters of normal saline, which commonly happen back to back in the field because their blood pressure is low, they can start peeing it. Dialysis patients, they don't. And they don't handle also the electrolytes that they eat. Me or you or somebody who has a normal kidney function, they can drink 16-ounce orange juice without having a problem. They eat a full pizza, which is both of them are loaded with potassium. But a dialysis patient, if they do that, they can die on the spot because the potassium will shoot up and cause their heart to stop. So they have a lot of things about them. The kidney is very critical in controlling blood pressure, electrolytes, and fluids. And we take it for granted when we have a normal kidney that we eat whatever we want. So dialysis patients have that. And on top of it, most of the dialysis patients have vascular access for hemodialysis. Some of them peritoneal dialysis, who has a catheter, which is a tube going into the peritoneal cavity. But the majority have hemodialysis. We'll have either have a big line connected to the central circulation, or they have a fistula or a graft. And the fistula or a graft, that will be usually in an arm. The majority is an arm, very rarely in the leg. And that arm, you have to be very careful with that access because that's their lifeline. And if the patient is unconscious or nobody tell you that this is a dialysis patient or they don't tell you that, we can actually damage that fistula in the process of transfer.
Okay, so for starting IVs and so on, that's a very critical point to make sure there's some awareness to. Chris and Larry, did you have some questions given your experience both being in Milwaukee and working with the kidney disease population?
Well, I don't know that I have a question. It's just, you know, it's always something that's been very interesting to me, and I think Larry understands very well. Again, the population here in Southeast Wisconsin, we do see a large number of dialysis patients. We also do repetitive transports of dialysis patients to and from their actual dialysis appointments. And these are people who are a little bit more sick usually, and, you know, for various reasons, they cannot go to their appointments via normal means. They're, you know, bed confined for some reason or another. And that's something we have to be very careful with, because unfortunately, around the country, it's been an area of fraud and abuse as far as Medicare reimbursement. So, you know, to protect ourselves, obviously, we have to really make sure that we screen those patients and make sure that, you know, ambulance transport is truly the only means of transportation that works for them. And I think, you know, Larry, you know, I'm assuming you have the same concerns and thoughts about that.
Most definitely. But I wanted to switch a little bit. When the doctor had said that the number one cause is diabetes, it made me think, Chris, and that the explosion, if you will, of obesity, and then presumably, and maybe the doctor can address this, is there more adult onset of diabetes, and then that rolls into more you know, patients with kidney dialysis needs?
So obesity can predispose to diabetes, but also obesity by itself, if it's severe, can cause intrinsic kidney disease by itself, which is the kidneys start losing protein because of focal sclerosis related to obesity, and that by itself can damage the kidney. So it can work with diabetes against the kidney to make the kidney expire faster.
Okay.
That's a good point, Larry. I mean, we see, you know, unfortunately, we see a lot of people here in our area that just don't take good care of themselves, and it leads to a lot of disease. And, you know, you hate to see it, and I know there are a lot of public health initiatives out there to try to stop some of these things, but it seems to me, you know, the harder we work to try to stop it, you know, the worse it becomes, which, you know, is backwards, but it's sort of the unfortunate reality we live with. And then we do see a number of, as the doctor mentioned earlier, we do see a number of dialysis patients who, you know, oftentimes they are very sick, and they do call for, you know, an ambulance to go to the hospital, probably more often than, you know, non-renal disease patients. And, you know, oftentimes, like with a lot of complex patients, a lot of times the emergency room is not the best place for them to go. But sometimes they feel that's, you know, their only option.
So you're right about this. They use the ambulance more frequently, and they are much sicker. So the annual mortality of dialysis patients is up to 20%. And so it's really high. And like 1 in 5 dialysis patients can die every year. And on top of the 5-year survival of people starting dialysis with no chance of transplant is worse than colon cancer and breast cancer, and worse than most kind of cancer except pancreas and lung. So it is a huge problem, and their health dwindle, they wither away, their health dwindle very fast. They aren't frequently, they can't walk. All of them are very weak because they lose muscle, they wither away through time.
That's very interesting, and that makes a lot of sense, you know, based on just what I've seen, and, you know, I'm certainly no expert, but that does make a lot of sense.
Doctor, I was just thinking, too, you know, if somebody is dispatched 911 to a scene or a house, and they come across a dialysis patient, what are some of the risk factors with dialysis patient? And where I'm going with this is, I know we asked you about some questions we could talk about, and this is one that I found really interesting, is dialysis patients are at higher risk for cardiac arrest. Why is that?
So that's definitely true, and that's why they die most of the time. So they have the cardiac arrest from coronary artery disease. Their vessels usually are more damaged than anybody else from high phosphorus and high blood pressure and damage through time. But also, they're at very high risk for electrolyte shift, electrolyte abnormality. So hyperkalemia, frequently you get a dialysis patient coming to get called for arrest, and their potassium is 8 or 7. And at that point, they arrest. Some of them are unable to move. They get weak. Some of them will know it. So the electrolyte abnormalities, the heart does not like to sit in a potassium of 8. That will cause cardiac arrest. It doesn't like to have a calcium of 5. And it doesn't like to live in a pH, which is really low. So the electrolyte abnormalities can definitely cause cardiac arrest. But a lot of them have coronary artery disease because of being in dialysis and because of the cause that led them to dialysis in the first place. So bad diabetes for a long time. They usually have bad vascular disease, bad lipid profile, and they end up with vascular damage through time. The high phosphorus, because most of dialysis patients, like we talked about the potassium in the food, phosphorus, when people eat a high phosphorus load, which is fast food, dairy products, and a lot of things has high phosphate content, they cannot get rid of it. So they end up being deposited with calcium in the blood vessels. So you might see an X-ray of a dialysis patient in dialysis for some time. And you look, you'll find that their arteries are delineated as if it's an angiogram. And it's just calcium deposited in the blood vessel. And that's coronary arteries are not an exception.
Very interesting how it's all connected in some way. You know, when an EMS agency will get a page out for a patient, potentially advance notice it's a dialysis patient, what are some of the pitfalls that EMS personnel could potentially fall into when responding to a dialysis patient?
So the usually the first one, and this is the one that from our concern, is not locating their axis. Are they in hemodialysis or peritoneal dialysis? And if they're in hemodialysis, do they have a fistula graft or a catheter, a dialysis catheter? And if the fistula, because somebody is down, you need to start an IV immediately. You need to get their blood pressure. So having a blood pressure cuff on a fistula can destroy it in the transfer. If the transfer like 30 minutes, 20 minutes, it can do that. So starting an IV, we have to be very careful with that. The acidosis that most of these patients will have, if they have not been to dialysis for some time, they have acid abnormalities. And if they have not been to dialysis for some time, they're usually loaded with fluid. So putting too much fluid in them can create a problem. So always have to be very judicious with IV fluid infusion in these patients.
Are there some key questions that emergency responders can ask a dialysis patient to maybe get a real good patient history, or what some of the care is that they can provide in the field while they're en route to the hospital?
So the first question would be, when is the last time you had dialysis? Like if somebody has not had dialysis for some time, they usually fluid overloaded, and they usually have a high potassium if they're eating regularly. So this is the first thing. When's the last time? And what is your dialysis access? What kind of dialysis do you have? Peritoneal versus hemodialysis? And where is your access if you have hemodialysis? Right arm, left arm, forearm, or in the arm itself? Is it a fistula? Is it a graft? Or do you have a catheter, tunnel catheter in the chest or somewhere else? So identifying that initially will save a lot of headache later. And in the same time, if somebody is crashing completely and dying, although we tell people don't touch the dialysis catheter, you might not be able to start an IV in the field on somebody who is arrested with no blood pressure. And at that point, it's all is fair is you have a catheter and you have no way of starting an IV to inject ACLS meds. You might find that they have that. They have the dialysis catheter. It's a life port for them.
Right, right. Definitely a first line of access. Chris or Larry, anything else?
No, those are great questions. Great questions and great explanation. And I hope that a lot of people listen. And, you know, it's one of the key areas where I think EMS providers can all use a little bit more education. You know, it's something that many of us are unfamiliar with.
That's a good point, Chris. Doctor, what would you suggest for additional resources to our listening audience? Where could someone find more information out or maybe enhance some of their learning about kidney disease or care of the dialysis patient?
So there's actually four sources, which are all of them are excellent. And the first one is the National Kidney Foundation. The NKF, or National Kidney Foundation, they have links to a lot of good resources. So that will give general information. The Veteran Administration, which is a government agency, has a, if you Google VA dialysis or kidney, you'll find actually a website which has multiple videos, educational for patients and healthcare professionals and diet. The last two are the two major dialysis companies in the countries, which is like DaVita and Fresenius. These are the biggest. There's small players in the field, but these two companies actually handle close to 70% of the dialysis population in the country. And they have excellent resources online also. And all these will give you that. Of course, WebMD have a small link, but the focus on dialysis, meaning National Kidney Foundation, the VA, the Veteran Administration, which is anybody can access from any computer, DaVita and Fresenius.
Very good. Thank you for your recommendations. We're almost out of time. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we conclude today's program?
I appreciate all the help from the EMS community. I know that we're consuming the time and the effort of the EMS with the dialysis patient more than the rest of the population disproportionately. There's one thing I'd like to see happen in the coming couple of years, that we increase the number of transplants in the state of Wisconsin. And let me give you a number that will tell you. In the Milwaukee area, there was like close to one daily fatality from drug overdose. And there was 585 road fatalities in the state of Wisconsin. We only transplanted 540 kidneys last year. So the number of potential donors, and a good number of those, these are hospital deaths, that somebody had a stroke. So we're not actually vigilant enough about asking people to donate a kidney. Don't take your kidney organs to heaven with you. So we can work together in improving that. We have a program, probably state-sponsored program, that allow us to identify this and transport patients to a transplant center if the accident is very bad.
Mm-hmm. Where would somebody find out more information about kidney donation?
So the NKF, National Kidney Foundation, also. The three major, we have only three transplant centers in the state of Wisconsin: University of Wisconsin Madison, Aurora St. Luke's, and Frederick Hospital, which is the medical college in Frederick. So these are the three major transplant centers. They have two different organ procurement for them, like Aurora and the medical college, they share an organ company. The University of Wisconsin have their own organ company. And this is the three major centers. If you go to their website, they and transplant, again, if you do a web search for transplant, and any of these names will come to you.
Okay, very good. Dr. El-Manawi, thank you very much for your time today and your information. This was a very, very good conversation, taking care of the dialysis and kidney disease community here throughout the state and nationally to our visitors to the state. So thank you very much for your information and your time today.
Thank you for having me.
It was a real pleasure. Dr. El-Manawi is the director of dialysis at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. We surely appreciate his time. Chris and Larry, anything else before we wrap things up today?
I thought it was very informative. The distinction of the dialysis patient over, I don't want to say regular, but other patients was very pointed and important to the EMS community.
Yeah, agreed. I think this is, I agree with you, Joe. It was a great conversation. And I hope that we get a lot of listeners.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anytime you can pick up bits and pieces of information, and this is very critical, and I think the important thing, and the thing that really surprised me is how kidney disease starts in lifestyle choices and things like that. So it starts out with diabetes and other things just through time and life. But, you know, when it comes time to that, people with kidney disease or on dialysis are very sick individuals, and their healthcare needs are very important, and the demands on the healthcare system are there also. I want to mention, too, in the time that we have, I know it's just a few minutes yet, our next live program is going to be Tuesday, March 28th, starting at 9 o'clock. Our guest is Buck McAlpin. Buck is with North Memorial Medical Center in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. But Buck is also the legislative lobbyist for the Minnesota Ambulance Association. He's also one of the chief architects of the state's community paramedicine law they passed back in 2011. Minnesota is definitely one of the leading states in adopting community paramedicine models. And we'll look forward to having Buck. Buck has been a frequent contributor to this program on community paramedicine and also the topic in general through education and training. Through many here across the states, United States. And I know, Chris and Larry, you've referred and heard Buck speak about community paramedicine before, too. He sure is someone with the knowledge and information, and we look forward to him being a future guest here in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. That's going to be a great show as well.
Yeah, yes, it will.
And, you know, Wisconsin is considering community paramedicine, of course, and very, very soon it will be introduced at the state capitol in Madison. Bill regarding community paramedicine, and we hope to have something happen here in Wisconsin where it's officially recognized and written into law. Again, that podcast is March 28th, starting at 9 o'clock, and you can refer to the PAW website for listening directly over the internet or dialing in by phone. Larry and Chris, anything else?
No. It was a very informative. I think I echo what Chris said. I hope there's a lot of listeners that hear the important information that the doctor conveyed today.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you both for being on the program today. EMS Live is streamed live via the phone and internet the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program was recorded and is available for on-demand playback from the PAW homepage at paaw.us. This is Joe Cavelli on behalf of Chris Anderson and Larry Knuth. Thank you very much for listening to today's program. We'll look forward to chatting again here in a couple weeks. Have a good day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.